This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
Hi. It's title time.
Oh, man.
Anxiety
starts tonight. Yes.
Welcome in.
Hope you got DSTs tonight.
Thursday episode of the show, Championship Week. Andy, Mike, and Jason, the Fantasy Footballers, back with you. Mike is not wrong. Anxiety permeates the air. And this studio. And
you're not doing well.
No, I'm okay. I really
no, 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 no.
Is this one of those denial?
Yeah. Your friends could tell you you're not doing well.
I have a decision to make. We all have a decision to make. Amari Cooper put up a record-setting AFC Player of the Week worthy 48-ish fantasy points, depending on your league scoring, with Joe Flacco last week. And unfortunately, we weren't dealt the cards of, you know, a juicy matchup the next week to just roll right into. Instead, we get a short week, a Thursday night game against the number one defense in terms of fantasy points given up to wide receivers and quarterbacks.
No practices.
Hasn't practiced due to a heel injury. If you watch the 70-yard touchdown he had, at the tail end of that play, Amari Cooper is limping. And clearly he is actually dealing with something, although they listed on the report that it was more rest. And it makes sense.
Well, he's resting an injury.
Right. It says not injury-related, rest, heel. Not so, H-E-A-L, H-E-E-L, as in his heel.
So, fantasy players, look, you don't get points for loyalty. Let me tell you where I'm at. You tell me, I mean, whether I'm here in an hour, we'll see.
You won't be.
But where I'm at right now is that I am probably benching Amari Cooper tonight. With the news that there was a news blurb this morning. And do we have it here? Can we get the full tweet from Tom Pelissero, please?
Yeah, I'll try and pull it up.
He hasn't practiced. It's sort of a game time decision. It says he's hopeful to play tonight against the Jets, but his status remains up in the air. The short week is tough. Cooper knows his body well. They'll get a better sense close to kickoff.
I appreciate that line.
That he knows his body well.
Yeah.
Better than anybody.
Yeah.
Like most players, not in tune. No idea what's going on with
that's
their body.
That's my knee?
But Amari Cooper, he knows his body.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me, the report that he's struggling, hoping to play, knows his body. Like, that makes it clear that this is an injury. But their actual official, like, I pulled it up right before the show just to make sure that on theirs, they say not injury related. How can you have these two conflicting things? Like, and it makes a difference to me. Like, if I knew they were just giving him rest, that is far, far better to me in a tough matchup where you could still have him get 13, 14 targets in this game, difficult targets, good cornerback, or if he's actually struggling with his health, and then you go, okay, is he going to be a little bit more limited, injury risk, in addition to the difficult matchup? That's like a tiebreaker for me.
Yeah, and the reason that I'm going to likely make the decision to bench Amari Cooper this evening is because the potential outcomes for Amari Cooper this evening, I think, can be replicated by other players. And the potential negative outcomes for Amari Cooper this evening are significant. If he has a re-injury or he cannot play, you're devastated on Thursday. If he's shut down by a team that shuts down the passing game. I mean, they give up. How many yards did Amari Cooper have last week?
265, I think.
Okay, they give up 168 on average to the opposing offense, or to the opposing passing offense. And, okay, so Amari Cooper toughs it out. Is that 10 points?
My goodness, the Jets passing defense against wide receivers, it's brutal. It's not It's not average. It's not above average. I mean, we know it's number one. So you say, oh, it's the best. But sometimes that's different, right? Sometimes the number one wide receiver in fantasy at the end of the year barely scored more than the second place, and sometimes it's Cooper Kupp from, you know, 2 or 3 years ago where he laps the field. That's what the Jets are doing, and I was like, well, what about recently? You know, now that they haven't had Zach Wilson, and maybe they're giving up short fields or whatever, and my goodness, this last week against the Manders, 18 points below their expectation. The week prior, 10 points below expectation to a good Dolphins. The week prior, 28 points below. It's just
go to points given up and read them. That's more. I think that's easier to process.
So switch
it, because they're the best in that too. It's just
okay. So last week to the Washington Commanders, they gave up 11 total fantasy points to all their wide receivers, the entire wide receiver room. The week prior against Miami, 28.9. Now that's
It's Miami. It's Tyreek.
Sure. I mean, that was still double digits below what their wide receivers usually average. The week prior, Houston 5. The week prior, Atlanta 1. They gave up 36 to Miami again, but you know, pretty much this is. There's only been three games on the course of the entire season where they have given up a chunk of like call it 25 fantasy points to that wide receiver room, and those games are twice against Miami and once against Buffalo.
Yeah, they've given up points. The defense has given up 28 to the Commanders, 30 against the Dolphins, 34 against the Dolphins, 32 against the Bills. They gave up 6 to Houston. Stroud got knocked out. That was the rain game where Wilson won it. They've given up some points, but it's a tough call, and it's not bench Cooper no matter what. It's bench Cooper based on your options. I'll tell you my situation. I can bench Cooper, and I can play Devin Singletary as a home favorite with C.J. Stroud against the Titans. That's an option I'm looking at. I could play DeAndre Hopkins if he gets Levis back. It's really difficult, and I know that everybody out there is going to have a different reaction because you have different options. So it's not a requirement to bench Amari Cooper. Kyle has poisonously chosen to reveal that Amari Cooper last year against the Jets in week 2, 9 for 101 and a touchdown on 10 targets, but that was a long time ago. So I'm not saying this is a final decision. It's the way I'm leaning right now. And that's the best we got for you, because the news reports, I didn't expect Tom Pelissero to come out and talk about his heel. I had pretty much said, hey, I'll just ride him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? This week's made for tilting.
It certainly is.
Now, where are you with the decision? I'm at the bottom of the well. You guys are looking down at me.
I lean at this point for your particular options. I think I would play them over Amari Cooper. I've been Amari Cooper this whole week, but I mean, this is,
you're getting a little weak in the knees now.
Well, this is a wrinkle to, and it's, be okay with your process. Like, you need to make peace.
You did say this yesterday.
You have to make peace with this of, like, I'm making this. If you're going to start Amari Cooper or bench him, know the reasons you're doing it. And, yeah, it'll be really, really frustrating if you end up with the incorrect decision. But know the reasons why you are making the decisions you are making. And it makes it a little easier.
I think if you were to handicap the potential of 20-plus fantasy points from Amari Cooper tonight,
mm-hmm.
that would be so minuscule of a potential outcome.
That's sub 10%.
So, and that's the only way that you're really, really happy. You could be okay with 10 points. Maybe. Yeah. So, and I'm also a team that has David Njoku and the Cleveland defense. So the idea of, you know,
it's a lot,
having a lot go down against that pass defense. I'm laying it out because it's the biggest decision fantasy players have for this evening. We've got all the matchups to get into today. We got the news and notes to talk about.
That's just my last note on it, because it's, you know, part of it is I think it makes, in my process, it makes benching Joe Flacco easier. Where,
oh, he's not going to be able to get it done without,
yeah,
Amari.
Like, if Amari Cooper can't separate, if Amari Cooper has to take a bunch of plays off, yeah, Njoku, he'll be fine. Like, I think that I'm still playing him, but if it's Flacco or, you know, these other streaming options that we had brought up, I'm definitely moving over to them now.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
If I could see the future, it would be so much easier.
It would.
Well, Russ can see his future, and it's not as a member of the Denver Broncos. He has formally been benched for the remainder of the season, and they're expecting him to be cut.
It escalated rapidly from we're considering doing this. It was, I mean, minutes later. Yeah, no, we told Russ he's not going to play.
Unlimited.
The background going into it was, at least we're hearing, Russell Wilson's camp was told weeks ago, if you don't waive your injury protection against guaranteed money, because the way it's working out,
they just wanted it delayed pretty much.
He has a physical coming up in March that, should he not pass it, it triggers a whole bunch more guaranteed money for him. And so the team was saying, no, we don't want this right here. If you don't, like, work with us and negotiate, either get rid of it, move it, whatever it is, then you're going to get benched. And we don't know when, but you will get benched. And here it is. You got benched.
He chose not to play football.
Yeah.
Given that ultimatum.
I don't necessarily blame him, because he will still get a whole lot of money. Russ will find a team. Like, you're telling
no,
me.
No doubt.
If Russell Wilson.
The Falcons.
That's exactly where I was going to go. If Russ hits the free market, the Atlanta Falcons should be drooling to go get Russell Wilson. Not that he's anywhere
close.
You
think they should be?
I think they should.
Oh, man.
Compared to what they have.
Drake London is the only person in the entire league praying for Russell Wilson right now.
Yeah, that's tough. Jared Stidham will take over. Remember last year he took over and was very relevant. I mean, against San Francisco, the Niners, in his first game, he was 365-3. More importantly, 7 carries both weeks on the ground. He'll run. Probably not someone you're starting this week, but super flex leagues. If you lost someone, I'd start him over Joe Flacco personally.
Whew. I heard an audible woo,
yeah,
from the producer
because it's spicy.
Isaiah Pacheco didn't practice with the concussion. Not a lot of optimism there?
No.
Jordan Addison didn't practice with the ankle. Cortland Sutton didn't practice with the concussion. Zay Flowers,
did not practice
with a calf.
It was an estimation as the team held a walkthrough.
Ooh, I'll make another estimation right now. I estimate you will be tilting very soon,
yeah,
if he doesn't practice again.
Very much, because it's either I put Garrett Wilson in tonight.
Oh, no!
Oh, wow.
Or I hold out for Zay Flowers.
And welcome.
What would your pivot be at that point?
I like Dobbs, Romeo Dobbs.
Welcome to the pit of despair. All are welcome. Keenan Allen did not practice. I mean, Keenan Allen is done for the year, I think.
I would imagine. He should be. He really should be. The Chargers have no purpose in getting him injured.
Yeah, I have him on my matchup against Mike, and I have no expectation of playing him, because I just don't think he'll be back. Chris Rodriguez, Commanders running back, on injured reserve. Brian Robinson limited in practice.
I'm thinking
he's back, but if not, then Antonio Gibson will receive all of the pain / opportunity against San Francisco this week. And Josh Palmer also didn't practice. So you know, the Gerald Everett conversation yesterday, if there's no Keenan, no Josh Palmer.
Yeah, he's in play.
And Everett matchup, and Eckler.
The matchup is perfect for Everett as well.
It's going to be Easton Stick versus Jarrett Stidham. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, baby.
Great. Can't wait to break that one down, guys. That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Fantasy Forecast.
We have a Saturday night special, the highest over-under of the week at 53. The Detroit Lions at 11-4 taking on the 10-5 Dallas Cowboys. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Dallas -6. Can we finally have a 50-point game hit the over?
I think we can. Only 5 have been in a dome this year, but 11 of 12 have not hit the over. This is the highest total since the beginning of October. Very, very, very important game for both teams. And the Lions defense has not been looking great. Dallas, I do think we get the over here. I want pieces in this game. This is a championship week type of matchup that you're really hoping for. The only player that I feel scared about is Tony Pollard. Of the guys that, like, yeah, you're probably going to play him, right? But Detroit is good against the run, bad against the pass. And Pollard's had a lot of duds this year.
Yeah, Pollard has been bad as a runner in games with much better matchups. I think Matthew Berry, I saw him talk about the fact Rico Dowdle has the same number of goal line touchdowns as Tony Pollard with 47 fewer opportunities in the red zone. So efficiency has been a problem. The defense for the Lions, fourth against running backs over the last 6 weeks. Doesn't mean Pollard is a bench. I don't know. Devin Singletary or Tony Pollard? Is that where we're at with Tony Pollard?
I think that is where we're at, and I think that's a fair assertion. You look since the bye week. I mean, this is a long. The last 9 games, he had 3 of those games where he hit 8 fantasy points, and so this isn't like, well, at least he's got a floor. Maybe he doesn't get a touchdown in a tough matchup. His floor is very often around 5 fantasy points, and that's going to crush you in a championship.
Would you play
matchup.
Brees Hall tonight over Tony Pollard?
I would.
Would you play?
I got a nasty one.
Okay.
It's Saturday night, so you may not have official word. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
Pacheco is out.
If Pacheco's out, I would rather have Clyde.
Yeah.
I was going to ask the Zamir White, Josh Jacobs side.
That's who.
I'd rather have whoever
the
is
Raiders the, running back.
The Raiders starting running back that week. If you have both, then you can wait to find out. Some of those situations, though, I mean, let's be real. We won't know about Pacheco, I don't think.
Yeah, if Pacheco doesn't practice at all this week, by Saturday night, you can have a pretty strong conviction that he's not going to play.
Yeah, we may have word at that point. Home games for Dallas are beautiful. They're beautiful for Dallas. They are number one in points per game at home, 40 a game, 71 plays a game. 6 of the last 7 Detroit games have hit the over. So we're optimistic about this one, which means that, despite Dallas's defense, which has softened of late, Jared Goff is going to have a lot of opportunities in this one.
Oh, man.
Whether he can deliver,
yeah,
in a big dome game.
It's really tough. Follow my logic here on Goff and really on anybody playing against the Cowboys. It feels like you either, if you get down, then the pass rush and you can't run the ball just is really, really, really good against you. So the Lions' best chance to win this game is to really focus on running the ball.
Which worked against Dallas with Buffalo a couple weeks ago.
Exactly. So it almost feels like if you're down and you want to catch up, it's going to be hard and a bad game for Goff. But if the Lions are good, it's going to be a bad game for Goff because it's going to come on the ground.
I know Mike has a number of uninspiring quarterback options for his dynasty matchup, and I know that he's trying to will Jared Goff to a good game.
It's the play of Jared Goff. You are hoping that that the touchdowns come. I'm not expecting like a 300-yard passing game for Jared Goff. You're hoping that it's 200. They get inside the 5. Montgomery or Gibbs get stuffed, and then they do a play-action rollout to Laporta. Like that's the path that Jared Goff has a big game.
Yeah, Laporta could. Because
they will score. Like the Lions, I think, will put up a decent amount of points where it's right now a 23 implied team total. I mean, the 3 touchdowns, you're hoping that 2 of them are passing.
The fringe players, I mean, obviously CeeDee Lamb, Dak, you're hoping for big games there. Jahmyr Gibbs is a lock. Amon-Ra is a lock. The fringe options, Brandon Cooks, I am optimistic about him in this game.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I like him a lot.
And, you know, Laporta's back in. Ferguson, I think he's in your lineup.
Yes, Ferguson's a play.
Where are you with the David Montgomery progression? I guess that would be the last question. Are you just, you know, he's been not what he was in the first half of the year, but he's still been a top 24 back.
He's been great, and he was even great last week. He got a touchdown, but then was injured and left the game. Didn't play much. So
still had 17 attempts.
Really, it's a matter of, you know, is he on the injury report right now? I don't believe he is.
Not to my knowledge, no.
Yeah, no, he's not on. So I'm totally 100% down playing David Montgomery.
All right, the New England Patriots at 4-11 take on the 9-6 Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, where Buffalo is 13. They're 13-point favorites. The over-under is 40.5, according to the DraftKings Sportsbook. Buffalo's won 3 straight games. New England beat them in Week 7, 29-25 at home. But I don't think they're going to beat them this week.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. Pretty heavy favorites here. Josh Allen, he's obviously in your lineup. He has had some success against New England in recent memory. James Cook, of course. Stephon Diggs is the big storyline from the final week on trusting him, because
it's so hard. This is a matchup.
It's not fair.
This is a matchup. The last 4 games against New England, Diggs has 14.8, 18, 18.7, and 19.9 fantasy points. He has been great for his entire tenure as a Buffalo Bill until the last 2 months. In the last 2 months, they changed coordinators. They run the ball more. There are fewer deep shot opportunities to Diggs, and this is a game where you would expect, obviously they lost last time, and the NFL's crazy, anything can happen, but you would expect, process-wise, that the Bills are winning this game, are running the ball, not needing to push
the
ball downfield.
Isn't New England very, very good against the run?
They are, very, very good against the run. Much more beatable with wide receivers.
Number one in rush yards per game average.
I mean, if you got to the championship and you've still got Diggs in your lineup, you're playing Diggs. Let's be honest. Yep. You know what it reminds me of?
I feel like we said that for 4 weeks.
We have, but we kind of said that about Mike Evans last year. And there were some people who got to championship week with Mike Evans.
Okay, yeah.
And all of a sudden, he won everybody a championship because he had his 3-touchdown game because he's Mike Evans. Yeah. Diggs is great. You're playing Diggs.
Okay, but you're not playing Kincaid. You're not playing Gabe Davis.
No.
So
don't.
Ramondre Stevenson was placed on IR. So this is, guys, this is legit like Zeke and no one. That's what I think. I mean, Hunter Henry, if he played, but you're coming off an injury. It's nerve-wracking. You get maybe Juju back to mix with Parker and DeMario Douglas. I think it's Zeke and no one on that team.
Zeke and no one on that team. If you have to start Henry if he's active because you don't have another option, you could do worse.
I mean, I play Gerald Everett over Henry, though.
I would as well. Gerald Everett's a pretty good play this week.
All right. Quick break. Done with that matchup. Coming back with the Bears-Falcons. Hey, Foot Clan. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up, and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
The Atlanta Falcons, 7-8. Chicago Bears, 6-9. DraftKings Sportsbook line, Chicago -3. Over-under is 38. This game projects to be, do we have the music for Joik Bell? Can we play that music?
What, the lumberer?
I mean, that's what this game, that's what this game.
All right. Oh, we do.
Yeah. I mean, pace of play wise, Atlanta is going to want to run the football. Chicago, they did get good news that DJ Moore's not on the injury report after the turned ankle. So obviously not severe, came back out on the field. You know, what are your expectations for fantasy contributors in this one, for championship week?
I am still fine playing Justin Fields. This is, you know, the Atlanta Falcons, they are not great against quarterbacks. The last 6 weeks have been good, but their matchups have also, you know, haven't been the scariest. To me, if I've got Fields, I'm, you know, I'm playing him over Goff if I've got a Goff Fields decision. So he's probably in most lineups that are that have him in championship week. I'm really curious. You're going to have to track Cole Kmet. He's been pretty solid this year, especially with Fields, but he didn't practice Wednesday, so that's just keep monitoring.
I don't think
situation.
I'd play him.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I want to, but the risk is too high when you're a week off of getting knocked out of a game.
Well, put it this way. Let's say both Hunter Henry and Cole Kmet are active.
If they're both active, it's Cole Kmet.
Yeah. Okay. So he's
of the injured tight ends. Yes. He wins the day for
okay.
Sure,
Cole
for
Kmet sure. is active or Gerald Everett.
Well, about you, what would you do?
I would
Mike?
Go. I would
what
go.
What would you do? You'd go Cole Kmet.
I would go Cole Kmet. Okay. Cole Kmet's been really good the last 4 weeks. Top 12 every single week.
No, he looked awesome last week. He had 100 yards before halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been tight end 10, 12, 10, and 5 the last month.
Deonta Foreman is going to be back full practice on Wednesday. Khalil Herbert had the big game last week.
Yeah,
Atlanta's a brutal rushing defense. I'm going to sit all my Bears running
100%.
Guys.
I'm not
Foreman
I'm not
kind of muddies it. I presume that Foreman would go back to being the primary grinder, but –
But who knows after Khalil Herbert did what he did last week.
But with the matchup and everything, if you want to take a shot in DFS, great, but in my championship, I'm not doing it.
A lot of folks want to know what to expect from Bijan this week. Dallas has been the best defense on the ground in terms of yards per game.
Dallas?
I'm sorry, Chicago. But they've given up a lot of running back receiving yards. Bijan's in your lineup?
Yeah, Bijan's in your lineup.
Are you chasing anything about what Algier has done?
No. No, I don't want to do that in a championship game. Okay.
And I can't trust Drake London. I just can't.
Yeah, I mean,
like the last 2 weeks, Drake London hasn't just kind of hurt. You're probably not in the championship if you played him the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, this isn't a great matchup either. The Bears defense has been pretty solid all around most of the season, and they've got stronger down the stretch.
What about Pitts versus Kmet? Because Pitts the last two Heinicke starts 7 for 105 and a touchdown in those games. Or would you go to Cole Kmet knowing that the yardage is probably better there?
I would go to Cole Kmet.
I'd go Cole Kmet. Yeah, all right. Like it was four targets last week. They hit, you know. He had a 24-yard reception, had the touchdown, but I'll take the volume.
The Raiders. 7-8. They're on fire. Run.
Yeah.
Taking on the Indianapolis Colts, 8-7. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Indy -3.5. The over-under is 43.5. Antonio Pierce is 5-3 since he took over. And this game matters. I mean, for both teams. Wild card up for grabs. If the Raiders win this game, they even up record-wise with the Colts. And they have a shot to beat, what, Denver in the last week?
Yeah, I mean, and then Raiders will have the tiebreaker over the Colts. Yeah, the Colts are in right now. Like, the Colts are the seventh seed.
It's an incredible. I mean, Shane Steichen's in the short list of Coach of the Year.
Sure,
for sure.
Which, you know, just a great job. Aiden O'Connell, Josh Jacobs, Zamir White situation, Davante Adams.
Man, what do you do with Adams?
I don't think you can bench Davante Adams in your title game under the same argument that Jason made for Stephon Diggs. Adams had he's coming off of an 8-for-101 and a touchdown 2 weeks ago.
I think one of the big differences, though, is the quarterback and the style of play of the offense. This is a team that just won throwing 63 yards. Now, that's the outlier. That's not going to happen.
Yeah,
he's thrown for 248 yards on two different occasions, Aiden O'Connell has. So I would expect them to not throw the ball for only 60-something yards. But when you look at the matchup against the Colts, it really is exactly how the Raiders want to play. They want to run the ball 30, 40 times if they can and just keep grinding and not pass the ball. And that's how you beat the Colts. They're really susceptible on the ground, and they haven't given up a ton to wide receivers. So Davante Adams to me is he's someone where you look at your matchups. Andy is not happy because he has him in the
Cooper dynamo. Cooper or Adams, Jason?
Here's the good news.
Amari Cooper tonight or Adams?
Here's the good news for Adams. You had week 10 through 15 where he was averaging about 80 receiving yards a game. And then you had the incredible dud.
He's going to get targeted a bunch.
Yeah, let's hope that Michael Pittman plays.
They're not favored. So the idea of them playing from ahead in the majority of this game, maybe not, you know, on the road, is maybe not a realistic thing. Five previous games, he was on pace for, you know, 7 touchdowns, 1,400 yards. He was normal.
I'm going to play him.
I think that you're right, though, to ask the question of Cooper or Adams. We've talked so much about Cooper that I think people know where we're at with him. He's not like a must bench, but he's a take a look at your other options. If you can flex another player like a Devin Singletary, I would.
Remember when Andy tried to tell us he was okay?
I would put – yeah, the hoodie says otherwise right now.
Because I didn't even have this as a possibility. To be dealing with Adams' decisions.
Yeah, I think
I'm
Adams
fine,
is,
by the way.
Is, I think Adams is right in line with Amari Cooper. Just like I would put, if I had both, I would put Adams in ahead of Cooper.
Because he's not hurt.
Right.
And he's not playing the Jets.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to do. Josh Jacobs, Zamir White. Zamir White was the running back 12 and 15 over the last 2 weeks. Josh Jacobs didn't practice on Wednesday due to the quad. I would have liked to see a limited from him on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he tested it during the game last week in warm-ups.
Before the game.
And so that makes you think, okay, if he was close enough to really consider playing, obviously he didn't, that he will play this week. But he didn't practice all last week, and so it shouldn't have shocked us that he was inactive. If he doesn't practice this week, they're going to say the same thing. Oh, he's going to warm up. He's going to test it out and see. I do think it is worth trying to wait on this information. Like, if you've got to hold off on a Thursday night player so that you can figure out if you've got Zamir White, like if you picked him up off of waivers, I would do that. I would look at a later week pivot off of Zamir White if he's not starter, because whoever is the starter here, if Jacobs plays, he's 100% in my lineup. If Zamir White is the starter and Jacobs isn't playing, he's 100% in my lineup. It's such a good matchup.
On the other side, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, you play him.
Michael Pittman. So he is limited, trying to get back from the concussion. Yeah.
If you missed it last week, Michael Pittman was progressing through the concussion protocol very rapidly. Was all but said
a little too rapidly.
Michael Pittman's going to play. Like it's don't even worry about it. And then Sunday morning, the reports came out that the concussion symptoms resurfaced for Michael Pittman, so he was ruled out. He did get a limited practice in on Wednesday, so that's the trend that you want to see. I mean, if Michael Pittman plays, I'm playing Michael Pittman, but just monitor his practice reports.
If Michael Pittman doesn't play, I really have a little bit more difficult time seeing the Colts win this game. Obviously, they can run the ball well with Jonathan Taylor.
They got destroyed last week by Atlanta.
Yeah,
without Michael Pittman.
I think the Raiders are going to come in here and just completely control this game. Gardner cannot, I don't think, destroy without Pittman. I don't think he can move the ball well against
Something to watch. I think you're right about that.
If Michael Pittman is out, the Raiders DST, even if Pittman plays, I think that the Raiders are a good play. But if Pittman is out, this defense is just so fired up.
Yeah.
And I feel like fantasy players aren't paying enough attention to how well they are playing. So if you're struggling on your defensive options and you feel like there's nothing there, go have a peek, see if the Raiders are.
Believe that they are number one in points per game since Antonio Pierce took over.
For the DST?
The Raiders DST. It might be in recent weeks. They're definitely number one in points per game over a handful. I mean, they had the monster game, obviously, against the Chargers, but they are up there.
Antonio Pierce is...
He's going to get the job, right?
He is delightful. Like, I love Antonio Pierce. He is the old school that I like.
Right. I know what you're saying. Usually you hate the old school. Yeah. This is like, no, we're going to run the football. But it's like...
No, but it's like... They're like, we talked to Antonio Pierce, and he said to his locker room, I want you to come out with hate in your heart and violence and just destroy the other team. You're like, whoa, man. What are you doing? You're playing a sport. But this is serious business to Antonio Pierce.
But you're in.
Visualize slitting their throats.
Yeah, it's like, whoa, Pierce, what are you talking about? It's win the football game.
Yeah, it's a metaphor.
But destroy them.
But kill our families.
Whoa. Figuratively.
Whoa, Pierce.
On the field.
Yeah.
give that man the job.
Castrate them.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Did you take a second to think about saying that?
Yeah, I did.
I know you did. I can feel the pause.
And I made the right decision.
Yeah. Here's the funny thing. If you ever wonder if coaching matters in football, you've got, 22 players on both sides of the ball?
Mm-hmm.
Same players. Different outcomes.
Yep.
And... are we done with Josh McDaniels? Can we just retire that son of a gun? I mean, he won in Denver while he was cheating.
Uh-huh.
Because he was cheating for a little while in Denver.
He won with the Patriots with Tom Brady and
When they were cheating, yeah. I mean, you talk – and by the way, just reflecting on the Chiefs' performance over the last few weeks, is that game on – are we previewing that today, Brooksy? Probably not, right?
Tomorrow.
Because that's the afternoon game. But put a pin in this. The Matt Nagy offense – situation. Like, how real is that?
The budget magician strikes again.
Yeah, and by the way, with Josh McDaniels, that just reminded me of Matt Nagy. That's all I'm saying. All right, the Rams at 8-7 taking on the 5-10 New York Giants. The Rams. And this is a shout out to Restore the Roar over on Twitter, who tweeted out the Rams offense with Matthew Stafford, Kyren Puka, and Kupp on the field at the same time. Number one in EPA per play, number one in dropback EPA, number one in dropback success rate, number one in success rate, number one in rushing success rate, number one in points per drive, number one in yards per play. They're 5-1 in their last six games.
The two teams to me that, like, I would love to see the Raiders play the Rams right now because they're both just playing so hard and on fire, and these are teams you don't want to run into right now. The Rams are playoff bound, and they've got a shot to really upset someone. So going against the Giants, I don't think they're going to let off the gas. I expect them to – I mean, they're 5.5-point favorites on the road. I think they cover that. I think they go in there and really have their way. That's the way I see this game going.
Kyren Williams missed 4 games. Kyren Williams is number 2 in the league in rushing. Like, what? This is unbelievable. This offense is getting right at the right time, and they are going to be a scary team to face in the playoffs.
Since Kyren is back from injury, okay, how many rushing yards do you think he's on pace for through those 5 games?
I mean,
17.
He's averaging like over 100 a game.
He was on pace, and this is just rushing yards. 2,043 rushing yards is the type of numbers he's put up over the last 5 games.
My goodness.
And that's add in another 60 receptions for 300 receiving yards.
I would really rather have him this week against the Giants
than
I would Alvin Kamara against Tampa Bay. Let me just say.
Whoops-a-doozles.
Let me just say that. Saquon Barkley, he had a big game against Philly, scored 23 opportunities. So Kyren and Saquon both in your lineups, even though the matchup against the Rams is difficult.
Saquon is terrifying, but yeah, I mean, when you get the Saquon could easily have a really bad game here. The Rams have been a brutal matchup on the ground, and we've seen, you know, 2 weeks ago against the Saints, who have a good run defense, sub 5 fantasy points. Now, Tyrod being there, I think, is helpful. I think Saquon is just a low-end RB1, an average RB2 this week.
I really like the part of the show where we go through each matchup and the players I have in each matchup. You're terrified of, don't want to play.
Yeah, so that would be Saquon, Davante Adams, Amari Cooper.
So far.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to Kamara. Matthew Stafford, yes. Kyren, yes. Cooper Kupp,
uh-huh.
Big time. And Puka Nacua, 9 for 164 and 1 last week. Of course, you play him. You could have a desperation flex option into Marcus Robinson. It would be desperation to me.
That's DFS for me. I don't think I can rely on it for a championship week. I know he's been involved. He's been great. 4 weeks in a row as a top 24 guy, but also 2 receptions, 3 receptions, 4 receptions total among that stretch. So I don't think he's someone you can rely on, but you're right. He's been good for a DFS play or something.
DeMarcus Robinson or Josh Downs?
DeMarcus
Robinson. I mean, if you're in like a 14-team league with 3 wide receivers, I think Robinson is important.
Darius Slayton on the other side or DeMarcus Robinson, the 3rd wide receiver for the Rams?
I will go Robinson.
I think I lean that way as well. I'm basically just picking Stafford here.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Anybody else you want to talk about in this one?
Tyler
Higbee?
Darren Waller.
Darren Waller has to be discussed. He's back on the field. It hasn't been great. You saw the snaps from 42% in his first game against the Saints up to 63%. 6 targets first week, 5 the next.
And he was targeted by Tyrod. And his Tyrod games have been pretty good. And the matchup against the Rams is okay.
At least the last 6 weeks.
You play him over Higbee?
Over Higbee, yeah.
Okay.
But now, like, if in that Everett, Cole Kmet territory, that's a lot tougher.
The Cardinals are 3-12. The Eagles are 11-4. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Philly minus 11, with their highest team implied total of the year at almost 30 points against Arizona. The over-under is 48.5. The Eagles are going to, like a knife through butter, destroy the Arizona Cardinals this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, it will be easy work. I would put, like, I don't know if there's a way you can bet whether Jalen Hurts plays in the fourth quarter. That's how I feel about this.
And you won't need him. Like if
now, Mike, you had a different opinion. You thought this game, like you said, you'd take the Cardinals to cover.
I'll take the points. Not that Cardinals are a terrible team. Just with the way that the Eagles are playing right now, Eagles, I think, easily win the game. So I'm not calling an almost upset or anything like that. But I think that the Cardinals can, you know, keep up a little bit and handle the 11.
Well, let's put that to the test for fantasy. Is Kyler Murray a streaming / emergency option? Like, are you playing Derek Carr, who was brought up as a streamer, or are you playing Kyler Murray?
I would play Kyler. I think Kyler is an okay streamer this week. He's my quarterback 11 on the week with the Eagles implied 29 points. There's going to be some garbage time. There's going to be some rushing yards from Kyler. They're beatable in their secondary. It's a good matchup for fantasy quarterbacks. Kyler's been scary. Kyler's been disappointing, but I do think he is an okay play this week. I would put him just behind the Justin Fields, and I'd put him ahead of Jared Goff.
Kyler is one of the most popular questions brought up on the mailbag episode yesterday, people submitting questions about him. Jalen Hurts, of course, you're going to play him. He's already 5th all-time in rushing touchdowns. Thank you, Tush Push.
Take you DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
Dude, DeAndre Swift,
he's the king.
He goes down at the 1 like Jalen Hurts pays him to do it. Just like.
You see this quote from Jason Kelce?
Oh, it's spectacular.
Kelce on a podcast that we're not even going to talk about. He says when Swift goes down on the 1, he says, "I'm so sorry, man. You know exactly what we're about to do."
He just tells Swift, "I'm so sorry."
All other running backs, you know, when they break a huge play, they get tackled at the 1. They get up, they're juiced because they know
time to score.
Coach is going to reward me with an opportunity here to punch it in. The Eagles are like, thank you for your service, Swift. Can you push Jalen Hurts into the end zone for us?
Please. Please help us get there. I mean, the thing is like, it's a guaranteed touchdown. When it's funny because Eagles fans.
Did. Can you just push him in the butt? Push his butt?
There's never been a time like when a player gets tackled before the one,
you're like, darn, they didn't score.
Yeah, you get upset. You're like, no, he didn't. When you see an Eagle, as an Eagles fan, I'm not an Eagles fan, but if I was watching as an Eagles fan, when my player gets tackled at the one, I celebrate a touchdown.
I go get some concessions.
Yes, I put my hands up and I say, we scored, because the next play is a touchdown.
It's crazy. Yeah, the running back in this game, though, DeAndre Swift, I love.
We'll talk about him.
Yeah. Same with James Conner, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you in on Conner?
I am.
Eagles' defense against the run, it bears out in the numbers here. On the year, yeah, they're sixth against the run. Over the last 6 weeks, 24th in fantasy points allowed to running backs. Conner's been doing it against tough matchups anyway.
Yeah, Conner's.
They don't got nobody. They got nobody else. It's Conner on the field by himself.
That Conner is more the reason why I think that the score is tighter.
Zeke or Connor?
Ooh.
That's a really good question.
If you're in a PPR,
I'm going Zeke either way.
Really?
Yeah.
I think PPR, I might just take the 5+ receptions. I know that Zeke
will
get. Has
Connor outscored Zeke the last 3 weeks?
The last three? I don't
know. I'm curious how close they are.
Zeke's if you've got Connors. This last week, Zeke was 16.5.
Connor was 19.7.
7 the week prior, Connor was
16.4.
And then 23.5.
22.5.
Okay, so,
over the 3 weeks, Connor has been better.
Both good options.
Yeah.
Hollywood Brown didn't practice. What's with the heel injuries everywhere? We got heels. The heels are a problem this year. Heelindex.com.
Don't start that.
No, we don't need to register that. A.J. Brown. Devontae Smith. A.J. Brown hasn't scored since week 12. I think he's going to score this week. You know what?
Oh.
Touchdown guarantee.
Okay.
A.J. Brown.
To the books.
Got to get a drop.
I'm sure that'll make a big difference on whether you play A.J. Brown, right?
Yeah.
The fact they made that guarantee.
Philly is, they're delightful and easy of, everyone's starting.
Yeah, Goddard too.
Yeah, Goddard is in. Then on the other side, James Conner is in. Trey McBride is in.
That's the end. Yeah. New Orleans at 7-8.
Which really is ridiculous. Because.
Well, you like Kyler this week, too, but there's no wide else to pick.
Exactly. Philly, 30th on the season against fantasy wide receivers. There should be someone here who gets it done.
Michael Wilson has had 7 targets over the last 2 weeks. How many has he caught?
I believe zero.
Zero.
Zero. That's less than two.
If I'm playing anyone, I'm going to put the door chin.
Remember when I swapped Michael Wilson for Lockett in our dynasty league?
Yeah. Remember when you were like, I don't know if I should do this.
You didn't want to do that?
Guys, I'm scared.
I talked you into it.
You paid me back, just like the big Waddle CD trade.
Yeah, that still upsets me. You guys have no idea. Every time we talk about CD Lamb or every time we talk about Jalen Waddle, I'm mad at you guys. Every time. I should have CD Lamb on my dynasty roster.
I
turned the trade down. I rejected it.
Yeah.
You guys shamed you.
You shamed me into thinking I was so wrong.
You should have stayed strong.
Yeah.
Roots.
That's on you.
Okay.
Courage, man.
Also, CeeDee Lamb he's in the Dynasty Final.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. He would have been.
He was way more
for me
expensive
as well.
For those not following at home, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, when Wada was on fire for about 4 weeks in a row, we may have persuaded Jason that he was a better dynasty play than CeeDee Lamb, which he still could be.
The trajectory of Waddle at that time was full superstardom, and CeeDee Lamb was like, he looked like he was just going to plateau and rest in the, like, oh, he's really good. It's been the last year. It's
and
been
those
like,
things are both true in complete reverse. one of them is a superstar, and one of them is, hey, pretty good.
All right, one more matchup here before the starts of the week. The Saints at 7-8 taking on the 8-7 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay's won 4 consecutive games.
Go Tampa.
They're also favored by 2.5. Otherwise, I would have picked them. I wasn't sure where this line was going to end up, but I do like Tampa in this one. Over-under is 43. you know, there are a lot of fantasy football implications for this game. You know, you have Derek Carr, who Mike, you know, brought up on our...
Yeah, he's the stream.
The stream of the week, and you like him more than that.
It's the... We will talk about him that starts the week, because I'm trying to find it just, you know, the fringe starter I'm interested in.
He is in my lineup. In I'm in a CBS experts league that we do for St. Jude. Geno Smith, Gardner Minshew, Joe Flacco. No, it's Derek Carr. Derek Carr is starting for me.
Like my
yeah, I know. I know. I lost Herbert in that league, and I've been playing randos every week.
Where I am, you know, it's dynasty, so I'm forced to go with Goff. I would love to have Derek Carr over Jared Goff this week.
And somehow I'd love to play against Derek Carr, too. That's the conundrum of Derek Carr is that but Baker's been on fire. He was the quarterback 7 against New Orleans in week 4. Would you rather play Carr or Baker if you had those guys? Tampa's at home.
It's tough because Tampa's at home.
I think I'd be playing Baker.
Favored, but the matchup is just so doggone good for passing. The passing game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you just want it. You want pieces. You want whoever's playing against them, and you can't really run on them well. So Kamara's going to be a big question mark, because a lot of times what's said is like, oh, you can't run on them, you could throw on them. Well, thankfully, Alvin Kamara is a pass catcher. But that's really not how it is. It's how they guard the running back position in totality, including the passing game. You know, Aaron Jones wasn't super involved in the passing game in one of those type of matchups. This is one where you do worry about Kamara, like Saquon, to have potentially another down game. But the passing, the receivers, the tight ends.
It's weird, man. I'm looking at the quarterbacks that played against Tampa the last 4 weeks, and they've all stunk.
Give me the list.
Yeah, talk about it.
Okay. All right. Let me pull this back up here. Jacksonville, you know, last week. Jordan Love the week before. Atlanta the week before that. Carolina the week before that. I mean, you don't have strong quarterbacks.
Right. Let's see. So Lawrence. Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville, is Lawrence got hurt. Where Lawrence was already hurt and then got knocked out of the game.
I don't think you've had a top 10 performance against them in quite a while, despite the fact they give up tons of points to the to the wide receiver. I'm just observing that right now. Like, I think it's been a minute.
Yeah, it's worth talking about.
Yeah, it wasn't Desmond Ridder the quarterback 2?
Was Ridder against Tampa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Desmond Ridder was the quarterback 2, 25.4.
Okay.
And that is his one good game.
Yeah,
I will say this.
That's good to know.
Even though Tampa has not been passed on by running backs recently.
Oh, by running backs, huh? That's good. That's good defense against the running back.
Passing two running back on
them
recently.
They faced Derrick Henry, apparently.
The last time that they did get smoked by a running back in the receiving game was 14 targets to Alvin Kamara. Does that give you hope? And
well, yeah, I mean, I'm playing Alvin Kamara, and you just expect – I mean, Alvin Kamara had the worst game of his season last week. Every other game of the entire season has been inside the top, like, 22 running backs, and most of those have been higher, much, much higher. So, you know, I think that the team made a strategic error in not involving him in the passing game early in that game. They got destroyed because of it, and so you just have to put – Alvin Kamara has such a high floor on a regular week that I think you just have to put him in there.
Sure.
Rashad White, of course. Mike Evans, of course. Godwin, the targets have been going up. And I think he's going to be a challenge for me to start this week just because the Saints defense, I mean, if you look at their last 6 weeks, they've given up 13.8 points to opposing wide receivers. If you're favoring Evans, it's hard for me to look at Godwin and say.
Baker has been favoring Chris Godwin lately, though.
It's just crazy because Godwin gets all these targets, but like two of those three games where he's had over 10 targets, he ends up wide receiver 37 and 32.
Yeah. I mean, no touchdowns, but 6 catches for 78 yards against Jacksonville.
And like, you know who's back this week? Marshawn Lattimore.
Wait, back?
Is that? When is that?
A day ago, it was reported that Michael Thomas and Marshawn Lattimore are expected to return against the Bucs.
We've seen all reports that he is 100% out.
We looked on Monday. And
Lattimore,
was,
maybe you read it wrong, because Lattimore and Thomas are not expected to return against the Buccaneers, according to the reports I'm reading.
That is exactly the word. It's not.
Guess who's
I
not?
I read that report
Say
exactly
guess who's
opposite.
Not back. Can you re-say it? Say it again.
I like Mike Evans this week because the Evans killer, Marshawn Lattimore, not expected to be back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's a very important word in the sentence.
It's
Jason.
Three letters, Mike. I got three letters wrong. I mean, it's not.
And there was a bunch of other letters you got right.
I got, like, percentage-wise of that sentence was, like, 97% correct. I mean, cut me some slack. Three letters.
Honestly, we thought you were breaking crazy news because Mike and I were looking at early.
Yeah, because it's pretty important.
Mike and I are facing each other, and I've got Evans, and I was like, but I'm also facing Evans in another league, and I'm like, I don't know if I want Lattimore back or not. No Lattimore.
Yeah.
No Michael Thomas. You do have Chris Olave, who is limited, but should have a big game. Rashid Shaheed.
The suit is not black.
Oh, man. I you know what? No Lattimore. There you go.
Do 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 do.
Are we Rashid Shaheed or Chris Godwin? See, ooh. I would go Shaheed in that situation.
Shaheed is...
There's no way Derek Carr and Shaheed don't have breakfast together.
Shaheed
There's
is just, the seal. But he's... Dude, he either hits or he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's far more doesn't. But
this
but
is
last
a matchup.
Last week, 82% of the snaps, that was a season high. 9 targets. Like, I wish I knew what was going on. Like, why did... And I mean, I know Olave was hurting, so maybe that's why they played Shaheed a little bit more. If I knew that Shaheed was in on 70%+ of the snaps, that would be easy. I'll take Shaheed.
Shaheed's superpower is the deep ball. And right now, Tampa Bay is allowing the 5th highest rate of 20+ yard completions in the NFL, so I think I would take Shaheed there.
I don't think you're going to be happy with Carr this week without Shaheed involvement.
Yeah, it's going to take a Shaheed bomb touchdown to take him from someone that was okay to like, oh, I'm so glad I played Derek Carr this week.
Welcome to Starts of the Week, presented by Purina Pro Plan.
Welcome into a very big Starts of the Week. Hopefully, we can deliver some names that deliver for you. I am going to do something I don't want to do.
Oh.
Most important league, I have to face this guy. Which tells you that, unfortunately, I just believe it. Patrick Mahomes against the Cincinnati Bengals. This has been a rough roller coaster ride of doom for Patrick Mahomes. I think a lot of you have decided to move to someone else, potentially. But he's at home. He's against Cincinnati. He's got a 25.8 team implied total. The Bengals are 25th against quarterbacks over the last 6 weeks. They average the highest yards per attempt in the NFL. And, you know, look, I don't know if teams can get it right this quick. You know, a lot of frustration in that offense. Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce throwing his helmet. They haven't figured it out. Every week you look at a team like that and say, well, they're going to figure it out. I think they're going to figure it out at home. I do. I think they're going to figure it out against Cincinnati. It's just the opportunity, the defense, the matchup. I'll be shocked if Mahomes doesn't give you at least a couple of touchdowns with major upside potential. Now, I don't know if you guys agree with me. I hope you don't.
I agree with you because of a start of the week you're going to talk about in a minute. I will go with my quarterback start of the week, Brock Purdy. Obviously, he just had a 4-interception turd fest from last week, and you can forget about that thing. Put that in a brown bag, light it on fire, put it on a porch step. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Billy Madison style.
Let someone else
style.
Step in it.
Look, San Francisco, they have the highest team implied point total of the week with 31 points. He's been great all year, had a bad game against a really good Baltimore team. Now he plays a really bad Washington team. 31st in expected points per pass attempt, 32nd in schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, the most passing touchdowns allowed. I think you're going to want every single 49er you can. Brock Purdy, I'm not afraid of last week.
And I'm going to stick with Derek Carr. Last 2 weeks, 3 passing touchdowns each game.
Send in the car.
7.9 yards per attempt. You know, Rashid Shaheed last week certainly helped out, and the matchup is absolutely there. So, like, if you are struggling, and I will give a shout out to Nick Mullins, who may or may not be the starting quarterback for the Vikings. If you were off of Twitter yesterday, you missed some spectacular Jair Alexander drama. That was just ridiculous. But the outcome is he will be suspended this week. So Mullins is also in play as a streamer. Should he be the starter? But there's the chance that he gets benched. So I'm going with Derek Carr. Must-win game for the Saints. He's produced the last 2 weeks.
My running back start of the week is Chuba Hubbard against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's been a top 24 running back 5 consecutive weeks, 22 opportunities per game for Chuba Hubbard. He is entering the budget star category at this point in time. The volume has been insane. Jacksonville's run defense has been bad recently, 29th. Over the last 6 weeks and schedule adjusted for running backs, and they give up a ton of receiving work to opposing running backs, including 6 receptions to Singletary and Mixon and Rashad White last week. Jerome Ford even had 5 receptions. Chuba's involvement is too significant to ignore. He's my start of the week.
And he's looked good.
Like, yes.
He's actually impressed me with some of his runs, which he has not done most of his career. I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift against Arizona.
Love it.
Should be an absolute
full stop.
Yeah, full against Arizona next. But last week, 20 carries is second most opportunities of the season. The Eagles have their highest team implied point total of the year. And when you full stop at Arizona, it's because they rank 32nd in rushing yards allowed. They are on pace to face the 4th most rushing attempts over the last decade.
Because people just want to do it. I want to run against them.
They're like, hey, dude, you see how easy that was? Hey, call that play again. Just hand the ball off. We're up by 2 scores, and DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert last week just went crazy.
I'm going to call a DeAndre Swift touchdown guarantee.
All right.
Same game
now
as yours.
Now he won't go down at the 1?
No, I think that the Cardinals won't be able to unlock that power of his.
Okay.
James Conner against Philadelphia. He is on a heater. He is on fire, running back 5'11", 5.
That's a player I have you're talking good things about.
The opportunities have been there. We're talking 33% of the rushing attempts and targets in that span. That is elite workhorse usage. So I think he'll see the volume. Plus the matchup, Eagles, you know, over the last few weeks since week 12, 24th in schedule-adjusted points, James Cook, Pollard, Ken Walker, Saquon, all like running backs are producing right now. And Arizona's offense has to run through James Conner, and it has been running through James Conner.
All right, I'm gonna go out on a limb here with my wide receiver start of the week because it has not been consistent.
Oh, dude, I like it.
Brandon Cooks against the Detroit Lions in that Saturday night, 53-point over-under game, the highest of the week. Cooks, he's been a little bit quiet lately because the offense, Dak, you know, the six-game run they were on, it slowed up a little bit.
No one can be that hot forever.
No, but I need him that hot this week.
Yeah, and bounce back.
Detroit, the secondary is so vulnerable. You don't run on them. Pollard can't run anyways. 28th in yards per attempt. 29th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. Brandon Cooks.
If you had Cooper tonight and you had Brandon Cooks on your bench, you...
I'd have to say I'm going to play Brandon Cooks.
Yeah. Okay. My wide receiver start of the week.
That's on tape, what I just said.
That is.
Yeah. Oh, wait.
Chris Olave last week, he gutted it out on Thursday Night Football, playing through an ankle injury, so you're going to have him limited this week, I'm sure, at practice. I'm not going to worry about that. He gets extra time from that game because it was a Thursday night game to rest. He was the wide receiver 12 last week. This is a must-win game against Tampa Bay. We just covered it about how you can throw on Tampa Bay. They're 29th. And schedule-adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, and just look at the big games that they've given up to good wide receivers. Brandon Ayuk just had 156 yards against them. Pity City, 107 yards. Drake London's monster, 172-yard game, it was against Tampa Bay. Dontavian Wicks had 97 yards. Calvin Ridley last week, 6 for 90 and 2. So Chris Olave, let's win some people some championships. Chris, do it.
And a fringe wide receiver starter at this point who I would put in is DeAndre Hopkins. You want some narrative street? It's the real revenge game for DeAndre Hopkins. As a couple weeks ago, he played. It did not work out for Hopkins against the Houston Texans. in that game, because you would see 2 for 21, 9 targets. That's the important thing. It's just that was a really strange game for the Tennessee Titans. That was, I think, the worst game of Derrick Henry's career. Everything went wrong for them, and then they had a more of a bounce back the next week.
Are you doing that with Tannehill?
I think I'm still willing to play him as a wide receiver 3, if it is Ryan Tannehill. With Levis, the target share has been fantastic. But over the last 6 weeks, including that game against the Titans where they were shut down, Texans 31st in schedule adjusted fantasy points to the wide receiver. Like, Houston has flipped, where last year it was all run funnel, and that's why we were so excited at the beginning of the year looking at Derrick Henry's playoff schedule. But that's upside down now. It's quarterbacks and wide receivers who are getting it done. And Hopkins, I think, he's still in play as a flex or a wide receiver 3.
Would you play Amari Cooper or DeAndre Hopkins?
That one, I'd probably still go Cooper.
Travis Kelce's my start of the week at tight end. Who would have ever imagined that could be a sentence allowed in this segment? But you just read it, Jason. 9th in points per game over the last 6 weeks. Travis freaking Kelce gets to play Cincinnati. I mean, that is what it is. Cincinnati has been one of It's been one of the worst defense against tight ends on the year. Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, I think they get right. I think you end up not regretting the fact that they're on your roster. Of course, if you're in the title game, you overcame them at this point. But I think Travis Kelce this week gets it done.
All right.
Yeah, the reason I think that the Chiefs unlocked their offense is because Kelce slowed down a bit, and he hasn't been able to dominate other teams. But when a good matchup like this comes along, I think he will. So, good start of the week. Sorry you have to play him.
Mike has to play him, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. You got him, and you're against him. So, my start of the week this week, T. McBee, baby. Trey McBride. I'm not playing him as a tight end. I mean, he'll be in my tight end slot, but he's the wide receiver 1 for the Arizona Cardinals. We talk about, who can you play? Hollywood? Will it be active? Will you be able to play the Dortch or, Elijah Moore? You can throw on the Eagles. Well, they're going to with Trey McBride. I know last week he just dudded 6 for 31, obviously in a PPR league. 6 is pretty good for a tight end to get. I expect a lot more this season. He is this team's wide receiver 1. He leads the team in targets per route run at 27%. In yards per route run at 2.14, and expected fantasy points per route run. And the Eagles are super bad against wide receivers. They're bad against tight ends, 25th. They're 32nd against wide receivers. This is their main passing option. You have to throw against Philly, 39 passing attempts a game. Just like the Cardinals are on pace for a top 5 rushing attempts against them, the Eagles are on pace for a top 5 passing attempts against them. So, Eagles are going to run. Cardinals are going to throw. Play Trey McBride.
And this is for our people out there who lost TJ Hockenson. Maybe Cole Kmet doesn't go for you, and you're really scraping at the waiver wire. Juwan Johnson, the matchup is there since week 8. Tampa Bay dead last in schedule-adjusted points to the tight end position. Kincaid, Schultz, Kittle, Kyle Pitts, Tucker Kraft. Guys that have gotten it done against Tampa Bay, all with touchdowns. And then last week, Evan Engram didn't score, but 10 for 95. And Juwan Johnson, at least the last 2 weeks, rounding back into the form of the player that we had hoped we were going to see for the entire season. And that's the targets per route run have been at 20%. That's great. Tight end 9 and tight end 4. And this is chasing a touchdown. Like, I think Gerald Everett is also a solid play should everybody be out for the Chargers. But the touchdown upside, I'm going to go to Juwan Johnson. This is his success last year. It was touchdowns. And of the guys on the waiver wire with matchup, with quarterback and everything combined, I think Juwan Johnson is your best desperation play.
All right, those are our starts for Championship Week. Thanks again to our sponsor, Purina Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport provides fine-tuned nutrition for strength and stamina that enables dogs and owners to take on life's adventures together. Pro Plan Sport, high-performance fuel for active dogs. It all starts here.
T.
Jason Moore's Ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom boom kicker of the week.
Last week on the Boom Boom Kicker, I Merry Christmas to the Noddies with a lump of poo. At year's end, I need a long nap to take a full boom boom victory lap and retire from these kicking suckers. So I waddled into their kicking HQ and clogged all their toilets with doo-doo. Sayonara to the Ravens, Justin Tucker. I'm done.
That's it. That's the retirement.
That's it.
That's what I thought.
No more stupid boom boom.
All right, the boom boom.
It's gone.
The boom boom turned into the poo poo.
Yeah.
We'll find
There's
you.
A lot of doo-doo.
We'll find you a segment you don't want to do.
Yeah, that's true.
Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, no.
So you're not even boom booming for week 18? Or is that the, like, what do they call it, the epilogue? You going to do an epilogue boom boom?
TBD. Stay tuned.
I'm in our show doc right now, and got to the segment where Boom Boom Kicker is. I'm trying to get to the bottom of the show doc. I have to scroll through so many weeks and pictures of this boom boom story. Is Kyle on the microphone here?
I'm here.
Kyle, how do you feel about this retirement? And to retire with Justin Tucker. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm just glad. I want to retire with Jason. We're out. We're done.
Yeah, let's go.
You guys are finished? All right. Tomorrow, more matchups, the fantasy face-off. I managed to lose for a third straight week trying to, it was great. It was great when Mike had lost three in a row. They always like, you suck. And then, I've been humbled. So, Mike, you got out of it by just going full DGAF.
That's right.
So, we'll see what happens.
YOLO.
Yeah.
It's the only way to go.
The season's almost over, isn't it? Thank you for supporting the show. We appreciate all your reviews over on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you're listening. That's an easy way for you guys to support us, and we do read those. We appreciate it. Good luck as you head into Thursday night. I'm talking also to myself. I hope I make the right decision. I hope you do as well. And that's what this show's all about. We want to equip you with as much information as possible. Every league is different. Every roster is different. Every scoring system is different. But we want to equip you with the most information you can have to make the best decision you can make to give yourself the highest odds in this game called fantasy football. That is it for today's show. We'll catch you tomorrow. You can watch us if you want, youtube.com/thefantasyfootballers. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.